We have a very experienced mum coming to the platform right now with over 30 years pastoral experience, partnering with pastors to grow a healthy church. She has a book, Raising Great Kids, released on Amazon in 2014. I suggest you download it, $3.90. You don't get any cheaper than that. And at a stage of life, I'm happy to wait a very long time for. They have grandkids, John and Diane. Isn't it nice to have John here, but not actually speaking this morning, but he's supporting his lovely wife, Di. And, I love the fact that this great couple see each other as equal. They have done much to break barriers and mindsets in respect to women in ministry. Today, we love that Di is able to share with us and champion the cause of women. Let's stand to our feet and welcome Di Fincaldi. Bless you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a good day, isn't it, mums? Yes. I'd like to thank you awesome pastors for having me this morning. They are outstanding. They have raised two gorgeous kids. Yes. And they are pastoring a cranking church of the best people in Western Australia, aren't they? Yes, and it's kind of good when you get to my vintage. My year was a good vintage. And to watch young people grow up in the house of God, see them follow God with all their heart, see them say, God, fulfill this passion and these desires that you've put in my heart. And here they are in this building doing what God has called them to be. And Nigel and Andrea, I am so proud. I go to the mother zone. And I'm so proud of both of you. Thank you for staying the course and being faithful to your God. You're making an incredible difference. Why don't you give your pastors a round of applause? Yeah, Nigel's mum's looking at him with great pride. It's fabulous. Now, did you know that you become a mother by becoming pregnant? Did you know that? All of those little sperm go swimming, swimming, swimming as fast as they possibly can until one of them connects with the egg. And then, voila, a eternal human being comes to life at that very exact moment. And being a mother is a lifetime commitment. It's an absolute lifetime commitment. You never stop being a mum once you start being a mum. Now, I love being pregnant. Once I got the other side of all the morning sickness and all that kind of stuff, I actually love being pregnant. And just to feel that sense of new life growing within, to feel it kicking and stretching, and you're going, oh, wow, and planning. You know what it's like, parents, you plan. And then you dream what it's like. Just go there. You dream what's it like. What's it going to be like to be a mum? And then you just imagine what it was going to be like to hold that precious little life in your arms once it actually arrives. And then you go shopping, eh? And then you go shopping for all sorts of things that you'd never bought in your whole life before. All these tiny little 3000 things and prams and cradles and all little blankets and nappies. It's so exciting. You shop till you drop, and off you go. And then one day, one great big push later, that tiny little dot arrives in your world. And I held my daughter in my arms, and I held her up, and I looked her in the eyes, and I said, "Hi, I'm your mum. Welcome to the world." It's such an incredibly precious time. And you know, I've come to tell you this morning that God loves mothers. God loves mothers. God loves mothers so much that He has actually written in the Bible ways and means where mums should be looked after and cared for and loved. Now, the Bible, if you like, is like a handbook, or it's like an instruction manual as to how to do life successfully. So if you're wanting to know how to do life successfully, get a hold of a Bible and read in there, and you will have an incredibly successful life. It says in there that mums are to be honoured. It says honour your mother. It also says honour your father. But we're talking about mums today, and our focus is on women. So, guys, I'm not putting you down in any way. Okay? This is Father's Day. I'm telling you how totally wonderful you are. But this is Mother's Day, so we're kind of looking from a woman's perspective. So the Bible says, honour your mother. Mums are to be blessed. Mums are to be respected. Do you know that it says both in the Old and in the New Testament that anyone who cursed, or anyone who spoke evil of, or even worse, anyone who struck their mother, they carried a death penalty. So high was God valuing that the mother should be respected, that anyone who did any of those three things, they could be taken to the priest's charge, and then they would be put to death. So high is God's aspect of motherhood. And mothers are to be obeyed. Yes! The Bible says that children obey your parents, for this is pleases the Lord. Now, parents, let me encourage you. Teach your children verses that carry the values of your home. If you want your children to be obedient, well, then you teach them scriptures about being obedient. If you want them to honour you, teach them scriptures about how this, to honour your mother, it actually brings, it's a commandment with a promise behind it. And so this was one of the very first verses that we taught our children to memorise. And so when they came and they did what they weren't supposed to do, I'd say, what's the Bible say? Ephesians 6, 1. Obey your parents full of God, and this is God, pleases God. And on they'd go with the eyes rolling and all of that kind of thing, you know. And I'd go, yeah, you're right. That's what the Bible says, you know. Then they'd go off and do what they were meant to do. They would give you this attitude. And mothers are to actually be cared for as well in their older age, which is great. It's important for us, I think, in the current society that we live in, is to understand and to have a concept of how God views mothers and how God views women. And because, ladies, you are never just. I hear so many ladies say, I am just a mother, or I am just a wife, or I am just a homemaker, or I am just this, or I'm just that. You are never just anything. You aren't. Ladies, you are valued. You are important. You are special. You are unique. You have been created in the image of God. So I would like you, if you find yourself saying things like that, is to actually change your confession. Look yourself in the mirror and go, hi. You're created in the image of God. You're outstanding. You're valuable. You're important. You're a daughter of God. God's got a purpose for you. God thinks about you. And husbands, let me encourage you. The men, also, for your mums, speak highly of them. Encourage them. Look her up and down and say, oh, wow, you're a hot babe today, gorgeous. You know, encourage her and build into her self-image. And because that's who she is. Women are valued. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a woman. Women are valuable and important and special. And motherhood is actually an expression of the feminine character of God. God is not a man. God is a combination of both genders mixed together. And he's not a man. And the whole mothering thing is an expression of the character of the feminine side of God. It tells us in Psalm 91:1, one of the verses we all know quite well probably. It says, they who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And scholars tell us that that word Almighty actually means El Shaddai, which means the many-breasted one, or the breast of God. And it gives us this amazing picture of God that he wants to be our total life supply. That God wants to hold us so, so close and nurture us and care for us and love us and be bonded with us. Because you see, to be bonded with God, to bonded that, no, I am His and He is mine, you can't do that from a distance. To bond with God, you actually need to get up close and personal with God. And when our son was born, he was born 2 months prem. And he was in hospital for quite a long while. And they wouldn't let him come home until he could suck every feed, because currently he was being tube fed. And so they said, we want you to be here for every feed. And I just looked at them and said, yeah, that ain't going to happen. That's a total impossibility to do that, because I also had a toddler at the time. And so a long weekend was coming up, and I knew John would be there to look after Aaron, and so I booked myself in for 3 days so I could have my son to myself, so that I could actually do the nurturing and the caring and the bonding, because it was very difficult to bond from a distance, sitting on a stool with your hand through a hole in the humic crib, running your finger along his little arm or his little leg. That's not bonding. You can't bond from a distance. But when I had him and held him and held him close and nurtured him and poured my love into him, the bonding took place. So God wants you to bond with Him, and God wants to bond with you also. It's a mutual relationship of drawing together, but you can't do it from a distance. So we need to get up close and personal with God so that we can come into that incredible bonding relationship, because I know that I know that I know that I'm a daughter of the living God, and nobody can shift that, because that bonding relationship has taken place. Now, I also want you to know that you were created in the image of God. Do you know that? You were created in the image of God. And let me read to you from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, just so that you know that I'm actually telling you the truth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24. He says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds, the cattle, the earth, and every creeping thing.'" So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And He blessed them, and He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." It was always God's intention to make two genders. Woman was never an afterthought. It was always in the heart of God to actually create man and woman in His own image. And He created them both. Woman was never an afterthought. Why did God create two genders? For a couple of reasons, number of reasons. God's got multitudes of reasons. But one was to reflect what the Godhead was like. See, man alone could not be the complete image of the Godhead, because the Godhead is actually three. So there had to be more than one of God's creation to be a reflection of His Godhead. You know, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three have very different personalities. They all have very different functions, but they are one. They operate in total union and complementary equality. And so man and woman, side by side, actually do that. We are different, but we are the same. And now, to use a really kind of like broad brush, if you like, and a generalization, because like I said, each one of us is unique, so I'm not putting anybody into a box. But it's almost like God took the male side of Himself and the masculinity side, if you like, and He dropped it into man. And then He took the femininity, the mother heart of God, and He dropped it into woman. And then the Bible says, "A man shall leave his parents and he shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one." So it's like you've got this diversity happening, but the two come together as one in the most intimate relationship that we have as human beings, and two become one. It's an amazing picture of how the Godhead works. And that's also one of the reasons why God is so into marriage. Because it means that in a home where you have a mother and a father, operating and there's harmony in the home, your children actually grow up with a picture of a balanced God in their own home. Now, I grew up in a single parent family. I had a biological dad and I had two stepdads. And so after I became a follower of Christ, it actually took me quite a long time to work out who Father God was and what a Father God was. And then it took longer to realize I could actually trust this Father. And it would have been so much easier if I had had some kind of a godly picture of a father growing up with me. It would have made it much easier to bridge that gap between being a heavenly father and a daughter of the living God. It would have made it so much easier. Let me unpack one more word. And it's down in the same chapter, and it's verse 18. And it says, "For the Lord God said, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good for a man to be alone. Man, it's not good, eh? It's not good. You know, this is right. Tick this scripture. It's not good for a man to be alone, eh?" He says, "I will make him a helper, comparable to him." Some versions say a helpmeet or a companion. And again, scholars, praise God for scholars, they actually come in and they tell us that that word helper is exactly the same word that God uses for himself. So in like Psalm 33 where he says, "You are my shield, you are my help," it's exactly the same word that God uses for woman as a helper to the man that God created. And that's just like, it's great because we're reminded that that word helper does not mean home help. It does not mean that women, their purpose is home help. You're a helper, you're home help. And we do, we wash and we clean and we cook and we do all those other things and we know where everything is because our lovely men suffer from domestic blindness, so it's important, a part of our job, that we know where absolutely everything is. We do all of that because it needs to be done, same as men go out and do all the things that they do. You know, they mow the lawn or whatever those kind of guy things are. But it's not our purpose for being. It's just something that we do. It is not our purpose for being. And the fact that we are a helper is a picture of the relationship that God intends, that we come alongside and we work together in harmony, that we are interdependent upon one another, that we are joint heirs and we have equal authority, and that we are uniquely different, but we complement one. Sometimes my husband will say, "Oh, God, help." And I go, "Yeah, he has. I'm the helper. You couldn't be who you are unless God had put me next to you to be your helper." And so I tell him, "Yeah, God's given you. I'm your helper. God will help you through me." And so you might be saying, "Well, yeah, hang on a minute, Diane. You know, I can see some of your brains cogging over. That was all way back there in the garden." Yes, it was all way back there in the garden. And both man and woman chose to be disobedient to what God had instructed them to do. And God had no other choice but to put them out of the garden. And at that moment, the relationship between God and man changed because God stepped back and then he would just come and visit through prophets and the occasional person, the occasional bod. And the relationship between man and woman also changed. And so then right down through Old Testament history, women lived under a patriarchal, male-dominated society, and they were slaves. Their purpose in life was to raise sons. And that was basically what their lives were. Until the angel Gabriel came out of heaven and he came and stood in the room of a young lady named Mary. And he said, "Mary, God has sent me to ask you if he can get you pregnant with his son." And she said yes. Right from that very moment, Jesus radically, radically changed life for women from then right the way down through church history and right the way through until Jesus comes again and it all changes and happens again. It's just, Jesus did it. It's like at a time when women were uneducated and they were considered incapable of learning, Jesus had women disciples and he taught them and he sat with them. Jesus healed women and cast out demons from women. Jesus reversed the whole of culture. He said, you know, where women are slaves and it was a shame for their voice to be heard in public. Get out there in the kitchen, Jesus said. Martha, get out of the kitchen and come and sit at my feet and be with me. He tells a Samaritan woman sitting on a well, I'm the Messiah. And then at a time when women had no legal witness. I mean, if, you know, if John and Charlie's chariots collided at the corner and there was only a woman who saw it who could prove that Charlie was right. You couldn't call her because she was a woman and her opinion was worthless. You couldn't trust the verse of a woman. And so you couldn't call her. And so the whole pivotal point of Christianity, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that we all believe that, otherwise we may as well just go believe Buddha or somebody like that who's dead. If Jesus hadn't raised from the dead, we wouldn't have this whole of Christianity. But it's a legal point of witness, and the first person that he appeared to when he rose from the dead was a woman. And he said, Mary, go tell the guys. I've risen from the dead. Such is this place of value. Because why did Jesus do all this? Jesus did all this because he went to the cross so that he could restore the relationship between mankind and God, so that no more was he would just pop in and out of their lives. But after he rose from the dead and ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, Holy Spirit came down. And now Holy Spirit indwells every Christ follower. Man and woman have the same powerful Holy Spirit dwelling within them and can have an up-close, personal, bonding relationship with the living God. And he also came to reestablish and to put right the relationship as it was like there in the garden by having women and honoring women. And then he died and he was gone. And the disciples carried Jesus' heart for women and they released women. And said, this is your gifting, go for it. And they released women into the life of the church. And then Paul comes along. Poor old Paul gets a battering. But Paul came along and he captured what Jesus was endeavoring to achieve. And he wrote in the book instructions for how to look after a wife. And it's in Ephesians 5:25. And it says, we haven't got it. It says, husbands, love your wives. No more ruling over them. No more treating them like slaves or second-class citizens. No more looking at them like they should stand behind me rather than that they should come and stand alongside of me as an equal and a created in the image of God. Jesus sacrificed his life. He says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, when was the last time that you made a significant personal sacrifice for your wife that cost you something? It's written in here, love. Love your wives. And again, I know I'm talking to, it's one-sided. Why, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. He says, that's how I want my women to be looked after and honored. And then Paul picks it up again. He takes it one step further and he does this whole relationship thing. It's in Galatians 3, verse 26 to 28. He acknowledges of what Christ achieved on the cross. And he says in those verses, he says, for we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We are all united with Christ in baptism. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. In the kingdom of God, your nationality does not matter. God doesn't say when we all stand at the foot of the cross, oh, you're a South African, you go stand over there. You're Japanese, you go stand over there. You're Aussie, you go stand over there. You're Kiwi, you go stand over there. He says it doesn't matter whether you're an Eskimo or a Chinese or what you are at the cross. The ground is level and you are all accepted in my presence. And then he goes on and he says it doesn't matter. He says there's no Jew. He says there's no slave or free. It doesn't matter whether you're a lawyer and a doctor or an executive or you stand out in the rain with a little sign that says stop so that the tractor can go by. It doesn't matter what you do for your occupation. It doesn't matter what your status in life is. At the cross, you stand equal, side by side, in the power and the love of God and his purpose in you, each one having the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit in each one. And then he goes on and he says, and there is no female and there is no male. So in God's eyes, he looks at the spirit within. So everything that a man can do, a woman can do. We are standing equal at the cross. And then he goes on and talks all about the gifts. Use the gifts that are in you. And you're in an incredible church that honors and values women and in a church that looks for a gift. If they need something done, they look who's got the gift. They don't look what man has got the gift. And if there is no man, well, then I guess we're stuck with a woman to have to do it. This is not a church that does this. This is a church that honors the gift that God has placed within, whether male or female. It's so exciting. That is how God values you. Women, I want you to believe that. I want you to believe it. I want you to even have a revelation. I am valuable. As you're driving home while you're having your coffee, pick up your coffee cup and go, I am valuable. I am important. With each mouthful, I am special. So it gets in your head and your heart that you are valuable. You've been created in the image of God. He loves you intensely and passionately. As a close, I just wonder if you can just maybe close your eyes. I want to read you part of a psalm and leave you with a thought. As I close, and it's Psalm 139. Go to your God space where God is while I read this. And imagine yourself in your mother's womb. For some of us, it was a long time ago. For some of us, it wasn't that long ago at all. Just imagine yourself in your mother's womb. And it says, you made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Folks, God saw you there in the womb. Before you were born, God knew you. He knew whether you were a girl or a boy. He watched the first time that your little heart began to beat. He watched as your fingers and your toes began to grow. He was there as he watched all the hereditary things miraculously come in and take form within you, which parts that you would have from your mum and which parts from your great-grandfather and what talents you would have that came through your hereditary line. And then he wove into all of that aspects of his character and his nature and his personality. He wove them into your soul. And then he started a book with your name on the cover. You get a book in heaven with your name on the cover. And in there, he wrote all sorts of things, that plans that he wants to achieve in you and through you as you grew and matured in life. Church, you are known by God. You are loved intensely by God. And you are valued by God. God's only got one of you. Men and women, God's only got one of you, and he wants you to be the very best you that you can be. So I encourage you, spend some time with God this week, up close and personal, and get bonded with your God. Father, I thank you for this outstanding group of people. Lord, I ask that you would give those a revelation who need a revelation of how incredible you are and of your intense love and passion for them. I ask.